Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from this week's special guest.
So before I sit down, many of you know Pastor Rice was here just last month, but when he found out you were coming, he texted me some questions. He said, you got to ask Daryl these questions before he speaks. And so, Daryl, you were voted the fastest man in the NFL to ever play in the game. What was the fastest you ran?
I was voted?
Voted, yeah, voted.
Oh, everybody had to vote.
Everybody had to vote.
So I vote you the tallest one. They can't vote me.
No, you were the fastest man.
I had to be the fastest man.
Come on.
He had to run the race.
He had to prove it. He had to prove it.
He had to run the race. Year after.
In fact, there was one year I remember that you were the fastest man in all sports.
The world's fastest athlete.
World's fastest athlete.
100 meters, 40-yard dash, home plate to home plate. So, Ricky Henderson, Major League, all-time still in base. I got cut in the 10th grade off baseball, and I beat him on the bases.
Come on. Well, what I know, because he preached last message, he won't be the fastest preacher in the world. Okay.
See.
It's all right. Neither am I. Okay. But
That clock.
Yeah. I heard you ran the 40-yard dash at age 50. How fast were you at age 50 running the 40-yard dash?
At 50, I was 4.43.
4.43.
Yeah. About your speed.
About my speed.
I come down.
About my speed right now.
Down.
Yes. But what was, it was some crazy figure that your fastest recorded 40. What was that?
Well, I guess it's officially like 4.13 or something, but I actually ran faster, but we won't even bring that up.
Just bring that up, man. Come on.
No, 4.13. Just put that on the
4-1-3.
Record.
4.13. Okay. Yeah. All right. Last one. Now that you're about to turn 63, this Wednesday is his
Wednesday.
Birthday. Wednesday, 63 years old.
Thank you. Thank you.
Are you still training? Are you still fast?
Yeah.
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 You look it. Now, give it up.
You know, it's funny. I had a prophetic word years and years back. This guy comes, and he says, the Lord has said, I've made you fast. And I was young. I just got, like, hold on, man. Pastor, you know this guy. Turned out he didn't really know me.
He didn't know you.
I know he didn't know me. And then another pastor said, God has made me to run. So I've had a prophetic word that I can run fast.
So question, do you feel his pleasure when you ran?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yes, you did.
Yes.
Come on, give it up again one more time, Pastor.
Well, I want to thank you and Julie for having me here today. I've been in town for since Tuesday. Went to, I think, Luke Air Force Base, went to one of your veterans hospitals and some other community. So it's been a long time here. It's been a lot of work. I've been hosting some executives as well. My wife is here. They're doing some other stuff this morning. So I'm glad to be here. This is really where I feel at home at. Met a lot of great people, and we go back a long ways. I don't know if we've seen each other in a while, but it's just so great to be a part of a people, a family. That to me is just, that is everything. So I'm not a preacher, but I think if you're looking 1 Timothy 3, it talks about being a leader, a deacon, an elder. I'm going to fit in there somewhere. Matter of fact, I hope every one of you do too.
Come on.
That's your basics. That's your basics training. So I'm grateful, and I bring greetings from Grace Covenant Church, Chantilly, Virginia. Pastor Tullis Fuller, not Pastor Brett Fuller. So you guys know those guys. So yes, Super Bowl weekend. What do y'all call it? Super Bowl weekend. Yeah. So I played in 3 Super Bowls. Won 2, lost 1. And it was a lot of fun. And the interesting thing about the Super Bowl is that these people, these men, have been given a gift to perform at the highest level in the world. And I was thinking about that. Do you have a Super Bowl? I mean, you don't qualify for a Super Bowl of any, because Super Bowl doesn't say, we just call it the Super Bowl weekend. We didn't say Super Bowl football. So Super Bowl.
Come on.
So as we think about today, we want to think about, God, am I ready? Game's on, baby! So, I mean, we really do. My story is very interesting. I used to watch a lot of film, tons of film, but 80% of the film was of me. I watched my opponent because I need to understand my opponent, what they like, what they do. Is he big? Is he fat? Well, he was never faster than me, but, you know, his route running, what's the call? What do they play on third down? What do they like on whatever. But an important part of our lives is to make sure that we are ready.
So good.
I didn't watch 80% of him. I watched 80% of me.
So good.
Go study me. Hey, man, what you got for this and that? I go back and watch film of myself all the time. It's like, man, what in the world was that? And I would take out all the good stuff, trash out all the bad. I'd pick me a wide receiver to say, hey, man, today I'm going to be playing Jerry Rice, and you're kind of like him. I want you to do this, do that, be like him. Today I'm going to play Michael Irvin. He's going to try to slap me in the head, try to push me, all this. I want you to do that, just whatever you need to do. Then I'd take and go outside with what I had, all the good stuff I saw in my film, understanding what he's going to try to do. Then I go to practice. So we have to watch our film, and you need to be watching your film to figure out, are you ready to play? I watched the news the other day, and when Kansas City, when they got into town, I don't know when they came into town, but it said Wednesday on the news in the hotel, it said it's their first practice. Like, what? They didn't practice Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday? They started practice on Wednesday? Like, wow, it's a new world. And they'll probably win, I guess, yeah. I don't know. Who said no? Well, hey, I don't have a fight. What is it, a dog in this fight? So if we have the highlights, I'd like to show you a little bit of my story. You put this little dude up there. Wasn't able to do it. Thanks for telling me. Now I feel so embarrassed. So unprepared, coach. No, I'm playing. I only had that idea this morning, and we gave the best at it. But so I grew up in Houston, Texas. Any Texans in here? H-Town. Been living in Virginia for 40 years. And but I started off in Houston, and since it is football, you know me as a football person. I started football in the 11th grade. Basically in 11th grade. I was a junior varsity player, and I was very small and very fearful. But I wanted to try to play, and so in 11th grade, man, I'm going to try out. So I went out there, and I played on the junior varsity, and it was so much fun, had a lot of fun, played 10 games. We won all the 10 games. The next year was going to be a little bit difficult because the 10th graders on varsity, who are now 11, and 11s who were on varsity, who are now 12th, like me, are going to try to say, you're not going to get that done here. But I got it done. So I started on the varsity, and then I went to college. No scholarship. Little NAIA school, and I went to the coach and said, hey, I want to try out. Okay, try out. I actually made the team. I played. I had a friend that went to school with me, though. He was a kid I met in the sixth grade. So my parents got divorced when I was in 10 years old. My mom come out to the car. I'm running out to the car. There's about three of the seven kids in the car. And I ran out there, hey, where y'all going? We never got a ride home. So my sister says, we're leaving dad. When I heard that, a thought came to me that, man, when I get to be a dad, and I've seen them for 10 years, man, when I get to be a dad and a husband, man, I'm going to do this. I got this. That's my life dream. I went on to college, and my buddy gets killed in a car wreck that I was supposed to be in because I was homesick, and he met a friend from another school, and he's going to go home, and next thing you know, I'm so jacked up, I left school. No grades, nothing. So I went to community college. I drove a furniture truck. A year and a half later, I went back to college. There was a new coach there. I said, "Coach, I was here a year and a half ago. I'd like to try out again." In 3 years, I was first-round draft pick. But before that 3 years came, I met a guy named Doug Taft, who was a trainer, who invited me to a Bible study. I was goody-two-shoes. I was this good guy. I was judging myself according to my friends and my brothers. I'm not like those guys. So she called me goody-two-shoes, and the scripture says, goody-two-shoes, yes. But goody-two-shoes don't meet the mark. You're comparing yourself, what the scripture says, with yourself, meaning to another human. He didn't say to another human, he said with yourself. So he's saying all of us are the same. Chew on that one. So at some point, by the grace of God, going to Bible study, reading the Bible, praying in my dormitory, the revelation hit me. And I was so broken. And I gave my life to the Lord. And so from there, I came to Washington, and we had our daughter, and thank God, her and her husband are married, 5 kids, school teachers, doing good, love God. But I got to Washington, D.C., now I'm saved and born again, and that idea, that thought, that what I wanted to be in my life, I never wanted to be a pro football player. Matter of fact, was speaking the other day, and the kids, in the Q&A, the kid says, he says, "Did you love football?" I said, "Let me ask you a question before I answer your question. I know that's not improper, but why did you ask me that?" He said, "Because I didn't really hear like you love football." I said, "You're exactly right. I love God. I love my wife. I love my children. I love my family." I said, "I don't love football. I appreciated it." I said, has a fork ever fed you? Has a spoon ever fed you? But you sure appreciate that fork and that spoon. But it did not feed you. I said, I certainly appreciate what it gives me to play football and enjoy it. I met this kid the other day, DeMar Hamlin. I got a picture of him on my phone. And I said to them, I didn't say to him, I said, "Do you think Hamlin loved football?" No. "Do you think football loved Hamlin?" I want to love my wife who loved me back. Love my children. We love God. So we get it a little bit mixed up. And so as I came into Washington, I've been born again, but I hadn't been discipled. So I met Pastor Brett in 1983 and began to be discipled, begin to learn how to love God. So an opportunity to go and get millions and go play for another team, I could hear God say, "Don't go," even though I was broke. So I could able to learn to be faithful, learn how do you, without the experience. My dad never knew his dad. My dad was an alcoholic ultimately, and they got divorced, and we all had kids out of wedlock. My brother died of drug overdose, so where am I going to get all this information from? So I'm just a football player then, right? Probably would have 10 children. All this different stuff, but thanks be to God. Yes. This thing about Jesus Christ saving you, delivering you, is not just this little funny little thing. This is a thing about God who in his son died for you. To really get this thing pulled off, it took a lot. And now my part was like really that small. Well, you can't see it. But thanks be to God that Doug Taft introduced me to Jesus Christ. And I ask God to come into my heart. My brother, Lord rest his soul, 65 years old, died 2 years ago. He said, he used to call me Duck. He said, Duck, if you wasn't in the NFL, would you love God like this? I said, man, I said, you know, that's a good question. It's a good question. I said, but man, before I could ever spell NFL, never thought of NFL. I wouldn't even think about NFL. They came to me. I didn't come to them. I just was trying out playing football. Football used to be called extracurricular activity, just having fun. I said, man, no. Thank God, man, I love Jesus. I wouldn't even want it to come into the NFL not loving Jesus Christ. And so when I met my wife, I now have a revelation of what God had called me to be, primarily, I think. And so when I met my wife, we got engaged in 6 months. And the next month, be 38 years. Faithful, ball out, marriage years. Yeah. So people have really recognized me. NFL's fastest man won all the races. The world's fastest athlete. Greatest 100 player of the 100 years. Celebrated 3 years ago. Picked 100 greatest players over 100 years. Picked 7 that play my position. I was in there. Hall of Fame first ballot. Super Bowl champion. Fastest man, Pro Bowl, all that stuff. It's just almost funny to me. But what did I really get? I got a little black African-American boy who never slept with a girl till he got married, who was descendant of my grandfather, who we don't even know, of my father, who was an alcoholic and divorced, of his father, who loves God and ministers all over the country. Son-in-law, we pray for your son-in-laws and your daughter-in-laws.
That's right. That's right.
Pray for them, pray for them,
right.
Pray for them,
yeah.
Pray for them. God, they're somewhere, they're somewhere.
That's right.
My in-laws, our in-law children are our children.
Right.
And you wouldn't be able to tell the difference.
Yeah.
But how can God do what he do? It requires something of you. The three little things that are really important to me that I've seen over the years are very simple. That God, who in the beginning in Genesis created the heavens and the earth was dark and formless and void, you remember, let there be light, the sea, the dry ground, you remember, you read that, huh, yeah. Turns out that same God, when Jesus taught the disciples to pray, Jesus said, I'm going to tell y'all something kind of weird. Y'all going to get a little weird on this. When you pray, say, our Father. You talking about your Father? No, no. That God that created the heavens and the earth, he's saying he is your Father.
Yes.
That ought to change something in your life.
Come on.
The God that created the heavens and the earth is our Father. That's why there shouldn't be any racism. Hey, I have 4 kids and 15 grandkids. What is the worst thing you want to see? Your children fighting each other. Jared, don't hit her. Come, boy, get over here. Tell her you're sorry. You don't hit your sister. Man, our father, we be hitting our siblings all the time. Because I don't like the way their skin color is. I don't like their size. I don't like their this. Boy, stop hitting her.
So good.
He said that our Father.
So good.
Pray to our Father. Yeah, yeah. He came back and said that this son is the Messiah because you messed it up. So your brother gonna get it fixed. Then he came back and said, when Peter, this is the revelation that Peter had, that you are the Messiah, got that, but then let me tell you how you got that. You got that, but how did you got that? You got it by the other Trinity, the other third in the Trinity, the Spirit of God. I got saved today, gave my life to Jesus Christ today. And I got married today. I played in the NFL 1 year. I played that same first game against the Cowboys from a little NAIA school on Monday Night Football against the Super Bowl champion Washington Redskins playing the Dallas Cowboys, their rival. I'm on the field, little peanut from a little school, you know, out there. But I played that season 20 times. When I got married in March 16th, 1985, today. Every day that was today, that's the day I got married. Every day that was today, since over 40 years ago, that was the day I got saved. Every day. Every time I stepped on the field, that was the day that I stepped on the field the first time. There ought to be something in us that causes to be an effect on people's lives. Now, I have that dude right there. Let me see that little guy right there. Swap these out. So this dude right here, who have keys? Who have more than three keys? Front door, car, mailbox, whatever. If the car costs $20,000 and the house costs $300,000, you got the house key, your $300,000 house key. But you're out there off of I-10, like 30 miles toward LA, and you don't have your keys, but you have your house key. It ain't gonna do nothing for you. You need a key to get in. I got a key all over the country. Childhood game gets me in a lot of doors. When I walk in the door, what you do with your keys?
Throw them down.
Folks, the people of God need to be responding, or should I say living and breathing, in such a way that it's not just, I don't need you to celebrate me. We celebrate the wonders of God. My life, every one of you have that story. I was in food stamps, free lunch, dad fighting mama, all of that, but God.
Yes.
In your story, but that can also be some, how you say your name? Hernan, how you say his name?
Hernan.
I may have more Hernans than you. I may have a bigger key than you, but you got a key.
Amen.
And God is going to be concerned about how you respond to that. I'm Tickle Pink, the little peanut head dude got to play in the NFL, sitting there in the car with President Bush, Bob Dole, John Glenn, and Darryl Green. As we come out of the White House, as we're going to Georgetown, down Pennsylvania Avenue, and I'm in that car, the little ghetto boy from the project, they don't let down. So I'm like, Then when I get in there and I introduce the president, then he introduced me as a chair. God wanted to work in my life so I didn't get killed in that car wreck. And in 1960, February 15, when my mom said her legs were on these stirrups, nobody was in the room, and she heard her scream, "Catch that baby!" And I still don't know today if it was a bucket, a mop, or what, or if I shimmied down, I'm not sure. But over and over and over, I've seen the sovereignty of God.
Amen.
When the team said, "We don't want you anymore," and the other team said, "We're gonna pay you millions," and God said, "Don't go." Whoa, God, they don't want me. They want me. You saying don't go. They don't want me. They want me. You saying don't go. Joel, we out of NFL. And we broke. Mama, I'm broke. I can't pay your house note. And then about 16, 14 years later, streets named after me, riding with presidents, first ballot, man, God is. But is that all about me?
No.
It's about a sovereign king,
yes.
A holy God.
Yes.
So, folks, we need to repent. We need to do whatever we need to do because we all just got saved today. We all just got saved today. Last point I want to make on that is when I got ready to go to college, I knew I was nobody. At least I bought that. Hey, dude, you little peanut, you ain't going to do nothing. But I'm going to go to school and I'm going to try out. And I'm going to be the eighth guy in line back here playing corner. I'm back here. They up there playing. And sooner or later, I thought that at some point, this coach is going to say that, you, come on, boy. At some point, he's going to eventually put me in. So what I did when I trained in the summer, I trained for, when is right now? Anybody know when right now is?
Right now.
That was right now? Okay, what about now? Exactly. I knew that at some point, I believed. At some point, it might be the fifth play of the fourth game in the third quarter. Or the ninth game, the ninth play, I just felt that at some point, he's going to say, you're in. And when he said I would be in, that would be what?
Right now.
And what was I preparing for?
Right now. So good.
I got prepared for the right now moment.
Yeah.
We need to get prepared.
Love it.
For right now. I got married this morning. And I'm not going to cheat on my wife on our wedding day. I got married this morning.
That's fantastic.
I got saved this morning. So let's pray. Let's pray. Folks, it's fun. We have fun. But Holy Spirit, please. Please. As Eric talked about, the issues, you can't count them. We could have 15 million Erics up here with a different story about a different issue. But we have one Savior, one Lord, one Father.
That's right.
The triune God. And God, the way you have chosen in all of your wisdom to do anything about that is through human beings. You could have done it through chickens. You could have done it through rabbits. Eagles, awesome eagles, but you chose us. So we ask you today, Holy Spirit, fall on this people. You said that when the Spirit comes, it'll convict us. Sin, judgment, and righteousness. So Holy Spirit, fall on this church. Every individual, let and cause every individual to get ready for their Super Bowl. And to play in their Super Bowl, should I say, every day. May you receive the glory and the honor as these people walk and operate in the excellency of your Spirit. Lord, I thank you for the privilege to be here. Thank you. Thank you that you take a childhood game. You allow us to have a platform to share the goodness of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Daryl, would you mind putting the coat on for a moment?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Put the key on.
Put the key on. Such a powerful point. And as Christians, as sons and daughters of God, Jesus said he wouldn't leave us alone. He'd give us a helper. And then Jesus told the disciples, like, don't go. Don't go until you are clothed with power from on high. See, God gives us the clothing to live the Hall of Fame life.
That's good.
See, he sees the end from the beginning. It's such an honor to have you, not because of all the accolades, and we want to honor those things.
Sir.
We give honor where honor's due,
yes.
But it's the man that received the accolades that we honor.
Yes.
The man of God testimony. You know, back in the 80s where it was very, you didn't see it very often where athletes talked about Jesus, talked about God. He was a forerunner in that. He was a forerunner in letting his the light shine. Whenever given that place, that platform, he took it, affecting thousands and thousands of people. I mean, he just keeps finding out new people. But as Daryl's here standing, and he's clothed with this prestigious coat that very few men ever receive that even play in the game. I want you to see yourself, because you've been clothed right now. And tomorrow it will be a right now moment to be clothed again. Don't go try to live a Hall of Fame life without being clothed with that Hall of Fame power.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
So why don't you stand to your feet? I'm going to ask Daryl to pray us out. The ministry team is going to come up as well. So ministry team, come forward. But would you just pray that Holy Spirit, Hall of Fame power, that we'd go out and have our own Super Bowl every day?
Yes. Yes. Am I on? Can you give me yes? I wanted to say I'm so grateful to be here. I feel the presence of God here. Each one of you. I remember, just if I take a moment, but it was a kid in the back of the room when I came there to college. You're a little kid, you don't know. I'm back there. Back there in the back. I'm just a little kid. Not knowing I'll be standing up here. Just a little kid. I'm nobody. They don't know me from nobody. When I went to the combine, my shirt said Texas A&I. You ever heard of that? I'd seen in the magazines, I saw John Elway, Stanford, Eric Dixon, SMU. I knew all these guys. But I walked into the guys and, hey, what's up, man? Man, D Green, man. Where you from, man? Texas, man. But God in his sovereignty, there was something. But you know what I'm saying that about me? That was actually about everybody in that room. I'm just saying mine. And so, Father, by your power and your spirit, I pray you would help every heart be open beyond their capabilities of opening it. You will do that too. And I'm asking you by your spirit to fall into every heart, on every person. God, this is a people in a city with a mission from heaven. Bless the man of God. Bless the woman of God. Bless the people of God in this community in such a way that, Lord, the great cloud of witnesses celebrate the work of God in this city, in every house, every heart, every dad, mom, family, student, child. God, that you would receive, this is what you would ask and want us to pray. When you pray, pray our Father. So we're asking you, Father, to do all these things and more in such a way that would bring glory to you through these people and through this church. In Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, we trust you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, last service you alluded to needing to come back here. And so I just wanted to let you all know that with Daryl here standing. So until that next time.
What was the context of that?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
But I just grabbed
it. I would love to be back.
Come on, would you want him
I would
back?
Love to be back. Yeah. We'll do something even more intimate. And really, by the grace of God, I'll bring my wife this time.
Amen.
38 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm you guys don't understand. I'm one of the happiest humans in the world, and it has nothing to do with football.
Amen.
It has to do with the Spirit of God and what He has shown and directed me. I love my kids, my grandkids. Pop Pops is the happiest man in the world. And it really has nothing to do. We talk about all that stuff just to use it. Sometimes people will show up because of this. And then when they show up, we can hide behind this. Or we can throw this behind us if we would. But I love doing this. I do. I honestly do. We laugh about all my best friends are pastors. And I'm not one and don't want to be one. But it is my privilege to walk with men and women to see God's glory. And mine did come, and the visibility does come through the fact that I played a childhood game. What a crazy deal. Amen. God will go to a lot of different lengths to reach us. But I just believe, I really do believe this as I came this morning, that every one of you guys, don't look to these two in the leadership. It's everybody. Yes. What we're dealing with, what Eric's dealing with, it's everybody. Yes. It's everybody. And raise your children that way. And pray. Did I say that earlier? Pray for your daughter-in-law. Pray for if the boy is 6, pray for his wife for the next 10, 12, 15, whatever years. Your daughter, pray for them. Because they're going to be a part when those boys will come by my house. I'm just going to tell them the story. This is who we are.
Amen.
This is where we're going. This is where we came from. I told them the same stuff. This is where we came from. And if we don't see them next week, hallelujah. But the one that stayed, they're operating in the same call.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.